The Haines Highway project runs into another delay, and the Forest Service makes changes to its Tongass Land Management Plan. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Funding transportation projects can be a complicated web of federal and state agencies' decisions and processes. And this week it was announced that the process has pushed back even further, the Haines Highway Improvement Project. A recent proposed amendment to the Statewide Transportation Improvement Program, also called STIP, would delay the start of the first phase of the Haines Highway project until after fiscal year 2015. The replacement of the Kalhini River Bridge is also delayed. The issue originates with Congress. Last year, an act was signed into law that shifts funding from the Surface Transportation Program to the National Highway System Program. That meant the State Department of Transportation had to shuffle around the federal funding it gets for transportation projects. In doing so, the state decided to shift funding from parts of the Haines Highway project to other state projects. And part of the reason, says DOT spokesperson Jeremy Woodrow, is that the project was already delayed by the influx of more than 200 comments it received during the public comment period on the effects the project could have on wildlife, fish, and cultural resources.
The only specific reason why funding was delayed some on it is because of the public comment period being as large as it was, or the amount of public comments being large as it was, have delayed the project, and we've been doing extra work on trying to redesign some areas to help mitigate some of the impact on the environment.
Woodrow emphasizes it's not unusual in the process to shift projects and funding around. The phases of the Haines Highway project are already mostly designed and have not been removed from the transportation plan, just pushed back, he says. That means the state still does consider the Haines Highway project a priority. But at this point, the state's plan does not see a firm start date on any projects that may begin after 2015.
You know, a positive note, the fact that it's in the STIP means that it's still in the STIP and it wasn't removed from the STIP means that the department still views this as a project that can be completed in the near future. In the near future, we're talking within the next 2 to 7 years or so.
But the proposed amendment is not finalized. Haynesboro manager Mark Ernest sent out a memo this week with information about the project delay. He notes the comment period on the amendment runs through October 23rd, and he's hoping the borough assembly will weigh in on it. However, he also said it's disappointing to see the project slated for a delay.
You know, and we really appreciate the attention that the project is getting. You know, it does a lot to address the safety concerns of the community. The department is working very hard now to address the environmental and wildlife concerns. It has a lot of agency review, and it's going through a very rigorous process. But in the end, it's a decision that will be made by the federal government, federal highways, and we'll just go from there.
The STIP amendment does not affect at least one phase of the project, the section between mile 12 and 21. In fact, the state allocated another $10 million to that phase of the project in this amendment. The state had only set aside funds for part of that phase before. And the $35.9 million set aside for the phase between miles 21 and 25 also remains unchanged. If the environmental findings on that section allow, and if all else goes according to plan, that section could go to bid next year with work to possibly start in 2015. The U.S. Forest Service has decided to make changes in its Tongass Land Management Plan. That means users and interest groups will get to submit suggestions on road building, logging, stream restoration, and habitat protection. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The decision is no surprise to anyone who follows Tongass politics. The Forest Service is required to consider opening the plan for changes every 5 years. It usually does, but can choose to leave the document as it is. Agency offices are closed due to the federal government shutdown, so no one was available to discuss the decision, described in a press release issued just before furloughs. The lengthy process concerns both advocates and critics of the way the Tongass is managed.
Once you open a plan and start changing a plan, everything comes to a screeching halt.
Shelley Wright is executive director of the Southeast Conference, which supports more logging and mining in the Tongass. The organization last month released its own Tongass management plan, which would remove some forest protections and allow more old-growth logging.
There is a silver lining. We hope that the Forest Service will open their minds and their planning books and take a look at our strategy, a strategy that we feel is a good strategy for the environment and the economics and the social and cultural environment in Southeast Alaska.
You know, it's hard to conclude that the Forest Service is making good on its promise to rapidly transition out of old-growth logging.
Austin Williams is Alaska Forest Program Manager for Trout Unlimited, which advocates protection and restoration of Tongass fish habitat. The group worries agency managers have set up too many timber sales in mature forests. Williams says that costs the government too much. He says the agency should do more to support the growing fishing and tourism industries.
There's really an opportunity right now for the Forest Service to help Southeast Alaska take advantage of this momentum and really start investing in the areas that really benefit Southeast Alaska.
The logging industry says it would be in better shape if it could access the timber promised in the current plan. Owen Graham is executive director of the Alaska Forest Association. He says mills and loggers have only gotten 20% of what was promised.
We weren't seeking a huge increase. We'd like to see a small increase in the amount of volume from what they have in T-Rump. But more than that, we want them to actually make changes so that they can implement the plan. But they can't implement the plan they have. So, simply reducing the volume to 20% of what it was isn't a solution either.
A Forest Service press release says the plan modification, quote, is expected to focus on identifying the timber base suitable to support a transition to young growth management. Trout Unlimited's Williams supports the change from old to young growth.
We have some concerns that the transition is dragging out longer than it needs to, but we are encouraged that the Forest Service is at least trying to move away from the large-scale old growth sales and into young growth and other types of projects.
The Forest Service's press release did not include a comment deadline, meeting schedule, or overall timeline. And, due to the shutdown, no one could speak to those details. This is Ed Schoenfeld, reporting from Juneau.
And we haven't had an essay in a while, but returning to our Small Things Considered feature, here's local writer Rosalie Lowen.
Hello, I'm your dispatcher. I work at night, seated behind the radio console between the jail and the fire truck bays, answering the 911 line and dispatching for police, fire, and ambulance. My colleagues and I staff dispatch 24 hours of every single day of the year, Christmas, New Year's, snowstorm, whatever. We have to replace our desk chair every few months. It must be the hardest working desk chair in town. I think of it as a front row seat on human nature. Both the good side and the bad side, and I love it. I like helping people, even if you don't always know that that's what I'm trying to do. Sometimes it doesn't feel like help when you're being arrested for drunk driving or assault, but it's usually helping someone, and sometimes that someone is you. And it's a small town, so when the phone stops ringing and the radio quiets down, I like having time and space to myself to read and write, or study, or just think. Some days are hard, of course. Sadness slabbed on top of sadness, having to watch people's lives crumble to pieces, all the pettiness and cruelty that we humans have in us dealt out for my inspection like a bad hand of cards. And some days, when I hear your voice on the other end of the line for the umpteenth time, I have this idea that I am rising up to where I can see your whole life mapped out, the roads where you have made the wrong turn, the places where the waters rose up and flooded you out. Sometimes I almost think I can see where you're going, too. On those days, my voice might say, "That's a civil matter, ma'am or sir. I can't help you. You will have to go see the magistrate." But in my heart, I am cheering you on. I know that you're running hard and fighting with more than you even thought you had. The best part of this job? I go home every day counting my blessings. I drive through the quiet night streets and think, "Thank God I'm healthy. Thank God I'm not addicted to alcohol or drugs. Thank God I have a job, money for groceries, a roof over my head. And thank God I have a family to love and that I come home to kindness at the end of my shift. It is such a gift to have this reminder to be grateful every day. But the thing I wanted to tell you today is that for every call that comes in, for every drunk that stumbles back to the jail to sleep it off, for every ambulance tone out, every bar fight, every 911, whenever I type your date of birth into the report, I think about the day you were born. I think about whether it was winter or summer. I imagine what the weather might have been like. Maybe I picture a new father being handed a tiny bundle on Christmas Eve, or a young mother sweating through labor in the middle of summer. I never forget that you are somebody's son or daughter, loved probably, brought forth in pain, nursed, treasured. You, just like the rest of us, must have delighted someone with your first smiles, your childhood laughter, your missing teeth and skin knees. No matter what you did or how ugly you act, no matter how you might treat me and those around you, I remember this about you, even if you, yourself, forget.
That was Rosalie Lowen with our essay feature, Small Things Considered. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Olive Del Sol and Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.